الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. In Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have not created the jinn and the insan for anything other than our worship. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ. We have not created the jinn or the insan إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ, except to worship us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the purpose of our creation, which is to worship Him جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ, and we worship Him when we recognize Him. You obviously cannot worship somebody you don't know. It makes no sense, makes no meaning. If you are worshipping somebody you don't know, then you are just doing some exercise. It's not worship in the meaning of understanding of worship. Worship is to recognize the greatness and glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to understand how we are connected to Him, because we are His makhluq and He is our khaliq and rabb. And through this understanding, what comes out is worship. And that is the reason why we say La ilaha illallah, because that connection of the Rabb and the Abd is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why worship of anything other than Allah is haram, because it is illogical. It's not haram because there is a rule that here is something, even though it is okay, you can't do it. No, it makes no sense. It absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can give anything, who can do anything. And that is the reason why it's very important to reflect on the greatness and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in this ayat of Surah Al-Zariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next ayah, Allah said, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقِهُمْ وَمَا أُرِيدُ مَا يُطْعِمُونَ. Allah said, we don't ask them for risk. He said, Allah does not ask the makhluq. Allah does not ask us to feed Him or to feed His makhluq. Allah said, we don't ask you. Allah neither asks us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was Samad, Allah does not even need it. So Allah does not ask, and Allah does not even ask us to feed His makhluk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself may not ask, but you might say, well, you know, I have to feed my family. No, you don't have to feed. To feed your family is part of your duty, to make the effort for that purpose. That is it. But actually you are not feeding your family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is feeding your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also in some other place in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they do not kill your children min khashyatil imlaq, because you are afraid of starvation or poverty. Do not kill your children, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who feeds them and you. So very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Now, and then Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Verily and truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-Razzaq, He is the one who gives rizq. Raziq is what, the one who gives rizq. Al-Razzaq is the superlative form of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, by His great strength. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is emphasizing His power and strength in terms of our risk. Now, if you think about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning and His power and strength, because this is where we fail. We don't actually say that in so many words. Maybe we don't even feel it at a conscious, cognitive level, but internally there is always this fear. What if something does not happen? What if, you know, my dukan stops or my job stops? How will I live? How will I? I mean, all of these, what are you actually saying? You are actually saying, what if Allah fails? I better do something about myself. That is effectively what you are saying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah does not fail. Allah does not even, I mean, I was thinking, I was reflecting this morning, when we were children, sometimes you would have some ants coming out of an anthill. So you would take a little bit of sugar in a, you know, tip of a teaspoon and go and put it there, and those ants would take it away. Now, as far as you are concerned, that little bit of sugar is nothing. I mean, what does it mean to you? But for those ants, it is food for, I don't know, Allah alam, how long they take to consume that. But it's food for so long. Now, if you think about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His glory and He mentioned His magnificence and He told us to reflect on it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is from one of the ahadith Qudsiya, He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if all the jinn and all the human beings, now it's very important to reflect on the wording of the hadith. Allah did not say if all the jinn and all the human beings at that point in time. He didn't say that. He's not talking about the current population of the earth. He says if all the jinn and all the human beings, meaning from the first one created to the last one who will be created, from the first one of the jinn to the last of the jinn, from the first of the humans to the last of the humans, whenever it is that entire duration of time, if all of them, whoever existed, if they all get together in one maidan, in one plane, in one place, and simultaneously, if all of them wish for every single thing that they can possibly wish for. So, what are we saying here? We are saying that all the jinn and all the human beings, from the first one to the last one, get together in one place, and then they ask Allah, they wish for, they make dua for every single desire that they have. Now that does not refer only to money. Desires is what? You are looking at your health, you are looking at your wealth, you are looking at izzat, you are looking at children, you are looking at wives, you are looking at power and authority and you name it. Right? Every single wish that they could imagine. If they wished, if all of them got together in one place, and if they all wished for every single thing that they desire simultaneously in one instant, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them all of that, whatever they wish for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them all of that. And remember, that wish includes Jannah. Has to include. Whatever they wish for means what? Including Jannah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them all that they wished for, it would not decrease from His treasures even as much as it decreases the ocean. If you put a needle into it and lift the needle out of the ocean, the drop of water that may stick to the point of the needle, even to that extent, it does not decrease from the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalla. So where is the question of your one person or my one person and my desire and my need and whatnot? And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first ayat which Allah revealed was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Allah said, read in the name of your Rabb who created everything. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drawing our attention to what He created? Because that is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, read this book of mine which is open before you. To read the kalam of Allah, to read the Quran, at least if you are reading it in Arabic, you need to know some Arabic. You need to have some understanding and idea of how to read and some literacy and so on. So if you are completely illiterate and you do not know Arabic, you can't read that. But to read the kainat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody can read it. And you don't even need eyes. I mean, a blind person experiences the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. A person who is seeing experiences the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a different way. So it's not even a question of saying, you know, when looking at the kainat of, well, you know, I am blind, I can't see. It doesn't matter. You are seeing something else. I was listening to one lecture the other day, and this person is, he's a chaplain in the US Army, Muslim guy, and he's very short. So he says, I was speaking to this lady, and this lady says, you are shorter than I thought you were, than I thought you would be. And he says, and she is blind. So he asked her, well, how do you know I am short or not short? I mean, you are blind. She said, your voice is coming from down here instead of up there. So, I mean, that is a sensitivity that Allah gave her because He didn't give her eyes. So she is able to make out the height of a person from where the sound is coming. So people experience in many different ways. So we need to reflect. I was looking at another video about blue whales,
which in near Sri Lanka, there is in north in near the Jaffna Peninsula and so on, there is a whole colony of whales. Now blue whales migrate, they go from south all the way to the north, to the Arctic Ocean. That's where they feed, that's where they get the krill, which is you know, small prawns, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the food of the blue whale. The krill weighs 1 gram, and the blue whale is the largest creature ever created that walked the planet. And the blue whale needs, on an average, an adult blue whale needs 4 tons of krill per day. And imagine 4 tons, one gram kind of creature, 4 tons, average. Now, these blue whales in Sri Lanka, they don't even go anywhere. They are there. So, wallahalam, they are eating some stuff, krill which is being created there, which is also there and so on. Normally, krill is only in very cold waters. The waters of the Indian Ocean are not cold. But the point I am making is that here is this one creature which is eating 4 tons a day. Right? 4 tons of food per day. One creature. And how many of them are there? They are now endangered, so they are protected. But still there are over about 10,000 of them. So do the numbers. Now the point is, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat. And this is one makhluk. One makhluk. Now who is feeding the krill? The krill also eats. And not only do they eat, the krill produce enough to be able to feed all those blue whales, and the krill is not endangered. Think about this, right? Here is the blue whale eating, you know, 4 tons of krill per day per whale, but the krill is not endangered. So what is the kind of production we are talking about here? Ajeeb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat. We have read this ayat of the Quran so many times, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if in Surah Al-Kahf and others, where Allah said if all the oceans turn into ink, and if the trees turn into pens, you still will not be able to write the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if all that happened. Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has witnessed. I was in July in Mozambique, and we had gone deep sea fishing. And we were way out at sea, I think maybe over 100 kilometers out on the sea, in the Mozambique current in the Indian Ocean. And it was the color of the, because of the sun and the color of the light, wallah alam, whatever the reasons for it. But Allah is witness, I was sitting in the fighting chair, we were fishing for marlin, and there was one. The marlin took my bait, it took a dorado from the end of the thing, so I could see the marlin and then disappeared. But while I was sitting in that chair, looking at the ocean, it looked to me like we were floating on ink. The color of the ocean was the color of deep blue ink. You know, we used to get this ink called quink. In the days when we used fountain pens, there was an ink called quink. Which was that color? I still remember that I'm sitting there on this thing. I'm saying, "Wallahi, this I'm floating on ink. We are in an ocean of ink." My very very dear friend and my dearest brother Ibrahim Patel, he was with me, and Hayum Bhai from Mozambique. It was his boat, and he took us out. May Allah bless all of them. They will also remember this when they. Think about that day. It was the color of the ocean was, it looked like ink. And I'm thinking to myself that subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said if all the oceans turn into ink. Now imagine this amount of ink. I mean, when you are in a boat, you really, really, really feel small. I'm telling you, this is something that I do these things. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the opportunity to do that. I don't do them only for enjoyment. Believe me, I thoroughly enjoy this. But my enjoyment is at a different level. I'm not just doing fishing for fishing. I can go to a restaurant and eat the fish. I don't have to go and catch the fish in the sea. In any case, I'm a lousy fisherman. I hardly catch anything. I do it for other reasons. And if you sit there and you look at the ocean, you really know how big you are. When you get into the boat looks pretty big and solid, and you know it looks. But once you are on the ocean, you are 100 miles out. You can't see anything. You can only see the sea. There's no land inside. There's nothing. You really, really feel small. I mean, you feel like, you know, what am I doing here in this boat? You feel like a drop, nothing. I mean, less than a drop. That is the reality. That is actually the reality. we at this drop, this next to nothing, stands in opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. Allah says, Hayal al-Salah, Hayal al-Falah, come for your own benefit. Come for your own success. Who needs success? Allah. Allah needs success. Did Allah say, please come here and make me successful? Huh? Success for yourself. But we can't get out of bed. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah save us from ourselves. So seriously, I think this is very important for us to look at our world, reflect on it, and there are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness everywhere. You don't need blue whales and deep sea fishing for that. I mean, whatever Allah gives you, alhamdulillah. But I'm saying that anywhere you are, we have the opportunity to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Provided we keep this thought of reflection in our minds. Everywhere, in your shops, in your work, at home, with children, whatever. You see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, Allah, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Who gives Allah this ability? This is the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Even little children, they know where the powers centers are and what to do and how to get things which they want and how to use whatever resources they have. This is minallahi ta'ala. The reason I'm giving example is because, as I said, you don't have to go to some exotic place. This is there in front of us. The khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there before us every single day. If only we look and if we only are willing to think and reflect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to see His khudrat and to feel His greatness and glory and majesty, because that is what gives you confidence and that's what gives you peace of mind. Alhamdulillah, this is my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. I don't have to fear anybody. I don't have to worry about anything. This is my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. I have to make my line with Him clear. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. As long as I'm doing that, the rest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care. Am I worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Am I thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? As long as I'm doing that, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to take care of you. I'm not making this claim on my behalf, on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said this. I am only reciting for you the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not my claim, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's claim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to fill our hearts with His glory and His noor and with muhabbat for His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.